Amen. Today, I want to talk about the fact that in life, we all have relationships. Relationships are an important part of our lives. Amen. Amen. And there are benefits to relationships. If you're an island, you're missing out on a lot of benefits. Amen.
Amen.
You have companionship, support, a listening ear. Sometimes there's financial benefits to relationships. All right? Let's just tell the truth. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
All right. Two can do more than one can do. Hallelujah. Amen. There are benefits to relationships. This morning, though, I want to emphasize and point out and talk to you about the benefits of a relationship with God. Even more than just a relationship, I want to talk about belonging to God. Pastor Trina was saying that this morning. I said, oh, she's in the spirit. Because when you belong to God, it changes things. We all operate differently when we are in an intimate and committed relationship. Do you not deal with those who you are in an intimate and committed relationship differently than those that you are in a superficial relationship?
Amen.
It makes a difference. We are all created by God, am I right?
Amen.
We are all blessed by God, am I right? And yet not everybody chooses to give God that close and intimate relationship with them. Not everybody, despite being created by God, despite being blessed by God day in and day out, we don't all choose, because he does give us a choice, to give him his rightful place in our lives. And I just want to tell you that real love, real respect, real honor, real belonging, I just want you to know, has some benefits.
Amen.
So when you're really in it with God, there are some benefits. We're going to talk about that this morning. Amen.
Amen.
We will go to our text and we'll be found yet again. Every time I go to God on Monday, Tuesday, whatever it is, I say, okay, are we done with Psalms? I'm like ready to move on to something else. Nope. Still in the Psalms, Psalm 103. Psalm 103. And we will be focused in on verses 1 through 4. And then we're going to skip on over to verse 8 and take a few more verses after that. Psalm 103. Say amen when you have it. Amen. We're talking about what? Ooh, somebody's listening. The benefits of belonging to God. He is mine and I am his. Sounds like a song, doesn't it, Pastor Trina? Yeah, that's right. Amen. Amen. And as you look at it, I'm sure you've looked at it by now. This is yet another example to tell you where all those songs come from. I don't know, the first time I heard these particular words in a song, was it Andre Crouch that sang the song? I don't know. Pastor Trina's the expert on these things. But bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Am I right? Was it Crouch? Early when I really got saved, those were the songs that kept me going. That kept me afloat. And this is where it comes from. So you just see all the places that these folks, God should get some royalties, right? You want to use a song, they want you to pay them royalties. Well, wait a minute now. You didn't originate it. So David writes this psalm and he says, bless the Lord, oh my soul. This is one of those things. Remember where David does that self-talk. So he says, bless the Lord, oh my soul. He's telling himself from within, bless the Lord. All that is within me, bless his holy name. And then he says, bless the Lord, oh my soul. And what does he say after that? Amen. There are benefits to having a close, committed lordship relationship with God. There are benefits to belonging to him. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And the more you remember all of the things that he means to you, all of the things that he's done for you, all the things he is still doing for you, the more you remember that, the more you're going to want to praise him. If we walk up in here and not want to praise him, that's saying he hasn't done anything for me, or at least I'm not grateful for it, or he's not worthy of praise for it. And yet you're breathing his oxygen. He didn't have to think about, until I mentioned breathing, were you thinking about breathing? Did you have to try to breathe? So who made it possible? God. He gave you an autonomic nervous system, meaning an automatic nervous system. Isn't that a good God? Amen. We should just praise him just because we're breathing.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So good. He goes on to say, who forgiveth, still talking about God. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul, all that's within me. Don't forget all of his benefits, because he forgiveth all thine iniquities. Self, don't forget that he forgiveth all your iniquities and he heals all of thy diseases. Even if you didn't get some miraculous healing, can I just tell you, your red blood cells, which carry your oxygen, which you need to be healthy and healing, and your white blood cells, which help to go in there and kill whatever it is that's bothering you, because every illness that you've had is now in your past. How did it happen? Even if your immune system did it, who gave you immune system? Whose original idea was to have a bone marrow? Okay? Where blood cells are created and grow up and get pushed outside of the house, out into the bloodstream.
Amen.
Whose original idea was it? This is a good thing. Ooh, he heals all of your diseases. So don't get this twisted. Don't think, uh-oh, well, if everybody's not perfectly healed today, therefore God is not real. And every illness you have is going to be healed. We're going to all die of something, right? All right now, don't forget that. I don't want you to. Some folks will take this and twist it around. But understand that as he heals you from your diseases, he created the system. We didn't create it. And he goes on to say, who redeemeth thy life from what?
Destruction.
Do you realize what you got saved from? Do we understand what we got saved from? Utter and complete destruction. And he's saying these words way before the cross. Because God was God then. God, did you know that God wasn't created in the New Testament? Did you know that Jesus didn't suddenly become in the New Testament? Who redeemeth thy life from utter destruction and crowneth thee with what? And tender mercies. Does that sound like a God that's worthy of praise?
Yes.
I think so. We have so many reasons to worship and honor and praise God. But I want to move on down to verse 8, because now I want to get into the things that are starting to approximate true relationship, because we're talking about the benefits of relationship. Amen?
Amen.
Now let's look at verse 8, and we can actually look at verse 8 through 10, and I want you all to read it for me, please. The Lord is merciful.
And gracious.
Mm-hmm.
Slow to anger and plenteous in mercy.
Yes.
He will not always chide.
Yes.
Neither will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities.
God has given us way more than we deserve. Let's just tell the truth and shame the devil. But he also holds back on, or he spares us, punishment that we don't deserve to be spared of. Have we gotten punished for everything we did wrong?
No.
I don't care if man doesn't know you did it. God know you did it.
Amen.
And we have not gotten punished for everything that we could have been punished for. And frankly, because of sin, we should be destined for hell, but only because of God. Do we have a way out? Amen?
Amen.
We're just talking about this God that we have a relationship with. I hope you now are just starting to formulate a picture in your mind of just how good our God is. I mean, I skipped some things where it says, who satisfies thy mouth with good things. We could just be talking about the food we get to eat. There's so many things. Crowns thee with loving kindness and mercies. It's just so good. It's just so good. Let's go to verse 11 and let's read that together and learn even more as we transition to the things that really hone in on relationship. Read 11 for me.
For as the heaven is high above the earth.
Yes.
So great is his mercy towards them that fear him.
Ah, a couple things. Okay. First of all, that's some serious love. That is some serious love. I mean, he says, for as high as the heaven is high. Do you know how high the heaven is? I'm talking about the sky. Have you ever seen the top of the sky? That's pretty high, right? Even with all our rockets, have they ever gotten to the top? Is above the earth so great. That's just how big God's mercy, meaning his loving kindness and his favor toward who? Toward who?
Us.
And what does the Bible describe? How does it describe us? Those who fear him. So what we see here is all these wonderful benefits that David has been talking about up to this point. But now we start drawing a line. Now we start having some qualifications. Just because you said a few words while you watched the television doesn't mean you're in the club. Doesn't mean you're in the club. He says, toward them that love him, there are some qualifications for this. God's love is free for all. Amen?
Amen.
But his ultimate mercy and loving kindness only comes through relationship. You can't just say a few words and then do whatever you want to do. Amen?
Amen.
And the other thing I want to point out is, what kind of, look at this fear. I want you to understand this is relationship type stuff, okay? We're talking about fear that comes as a form of respect and love. We're not talking about scary fear. Are you with me here?
Amen.
This fear of God leads to obedience and worship. It leads to your life actually manifesting your love for him. It leads to a life that is given unto God. Are you with me?
Amen.
It leads to a life that is meant to please God. It's meant to a life that is controlled and orchestrated by God. Is your life controlled and orchestrated by God? Amen?
Amen.
We're talking about fear as unto a father. You shouldn't fear your father hurting you or harming you. Amen? And so now that we see how deep God's love is, as high as the heavens above, all the way down to the earth, let's see how wide his love is. Amen. So let's go to verse 12. We're still talking about this God that we, I believe all of us here, have a relationship with, a close, intimate, loving, committed relationship, which causes you to think differently. You'll do things for folks that you're in a committed and loving relationship with that you will not do for the casual person. You will tolerate things. You will put up with things. You will look past things with someone that you have a loving, committed, intimate relationship with that you will not look past with others.
Amen?
Amen? And so we go to verse 12 after he said, for as the heaven is high above the earth, so great, that's how great his mercy toward them who fear him. And as far, read it for me, as
the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us.
Wow. You got to really know you're a sinner to really get excited about this. I mean, this is how much he loves us. And with all of that love, do you know that he gave us a free will? And there are folks that are going to go straight to the pit of hell, despite all that love. This is how much love he's got now. I mean, it's just endless, but that's not enough to keep you out of hell because of sin. That's not enough to get you into heaven with him forever. You got to want him down here before you get to be with him up there.
Amen.
We're talking about the benefits of relationship. We're talking about being a card-carrying God's son and daughter. Amen?
Amen.
That's what we're talking about. That's what I want to be. That's what I aim to be. That's why I'm up here, by the way. I could be doing something else. I'm up here. I did my study. Amen. And I'm here because I belong Amen. To God. Amen. I belong to God.
Amen.
I am bought and paid for. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I'm glad about it. I am glad about it. And so now that we're starting to get this picture of this relationship and the goodness of God, but it is reserved for those who fear him. It's reserved for those who love and honor and respect him, those who belong to him. That's who it's reserved for. I'm glad to be in the club. He says in verse 13 to paint an even clearer picture. He says, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. What do we learn from that? Now we're starting to get, if you wondered, if you weren't sure what kind of love this is, if you weren't sure what kind of respect this is, if you weren't sure of the nature of the relationship and why he'd be willing to go so far for you, now you begin to understand. How far will a father, and I'll add in there a mother, go for their child? How far will they go for their child? How far will you go, Michelle, for your child? How far will you go, Mom, for your child? How far will you go, Deacon, for your child? How far will you go for your child? Those of you who don't have children yet, you will understand once you do. You really can't understand it. As you go through teenagehood, you really don't understand it. When you get to young adulthood, you know everything. You definitely don't understand it. But right around 25 to 30, you start to maybe understand it and see things a little different. Your parents get smarter. They get wiser. Then the same thing's going to happen to you. You're going to live that same arc. You're going to be dumb, not caring, too strict. All of that. And then gradually some things are going to happen. Life is going to do a couple uppercuts to your children. They're going to find out that the world don't care as much as you think they do. And all of a sudden you're going to get more loving and more smart and more wise. It's just the way it happens. So we'll all live through it. So don't get too highfalutin because it's going to be your turn. Amen. So when he talks about this pity that he has, this is actually, the translation is so beautiful. It is deep love. Pay attention. Deep love and compassion. Imagine a parent. In this case, he's describing a father. And I think it's kind of nice to sit on the father thing, because we can see these characteristics in women. We attribute it to them automatically. But you need, just like the prodigal son, you need to come to yourself and realize fatherly love. I'm talking about a good father now, not some absentee father, not some father that wants to beat you upside your head, not some father that wants to humiliate you, not some father that in order to feel big, he's got to make you feel small. I'm talking about a loving father. And how he feels toward his child. Deep love and compassion. If you think about the prodigal son, that's really what he realized for himself. He says, wait a minute, you know, I know how he treats the servant, so I know his heart. So guess what? That applies to me. That deep love and compassion. Guess what? He's going to have compassion for me. He's not going to look at the wrong that I did to his name and spending up all his money and making him look bad. He's going to see beyond my fault. He's going to have compassion. He's going to get in the muck and the mire with me, feel my pain, see my need, look past his own needs, look past pride, and I deserve, and he's going to look at me and care about me with compassion and deep love. How many of us have done things to hurt our parents? And guess what? They're still our parents. They still love us. They still embrace us. Now, they might tell us a little something. A good parent will. All my Proverbs studiers, is that what a good parent will do?
Yes.
Whoo, if they let you off the hook and don't tell you about yourself, they don't love you as much. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And so we see here clearly by this description, he's telling us now, and just in case you wondered about what does fear and all this sort of stuff means, he says, like, if you need a word picture, imagine a father and how he has deep love and compassion for his children. That means he has to care about what they're going through. So if your daddy hasn't solved your problem and fixed it all for you, let me just tell you how much pain it has to be for him to watch you go through that. It's painful for him to let you go through it long enough to learn something because he don't want to see you go through that. Now, a father looks differently. A mother will maybe nag at you. She'll tell you the little things so you have an idea that she's concerned about your situation. The father may not do that. That doesn't mean it's not killing him to see you go through. So you got to understand that it says, like a father has deep love and compassion for his children, that's how God, if you can get that picture, that's how God has deep love and compassion. By the way, it's Yahweh. For who? Them that fear him. Those who treat him like a father. In other words, you got to know they belong to you. You got to know that they belong. This stuff we're talking about here, it's reserved. I'm going to take the bullet for those who belong to me. I'm going to take the cross for those who belong to me. Now, you get to choose. You're an orphan, orphaned by sin, but you get to choose your daddy. You don't have to let me be your daddy. You get to choose. Sister LaQuisha did not have to let me be her daddy. I still remember where I was to the inch the first time she ever said those words. Changed my life. She did not have to let me be her poppy. Amen? Amen. And we have the same thing with God. So I know what God feels like. When we dust ourselves off and finally realize that he's worthy, he could be trusted, and he really loves us, and we turn ourselves over and let go and be vulnerable and allow ourselves to have that intimate connection with him and not afraid to say it. I know what that feels like. That's what God feels like. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen, amen, amen. That's some good stuff. That's some good stuff. So when my father, my birth father, my natural father ended up out of the picture, hey, little did we know what he was creating. He was creating an opportunity for a man to take me on as his son when he didn't have to. It started a cycle of love. It started a cycle of what real love is like. It started a cycle of caring so that Sister LaQuisha is looking forward to someday adopting. Where did she get that heart from? She got that heart from people in her life that loved her a certain way that didn't have to, that went beyond what they had to do, went beyond obligation, so you know it's real. These are miracles. And bad situations in every case turned into the good. Not one of these things I'm telling you started out with what we would call a good situation. But now it's being paid forward. It's a beautiful thing to stop and think about. So he gives us this word picture like a father. Oh, I see. Now I get it. If you didn't understand before, now I get it. If you are a father, you get it. And if you have a father that you love and honor and respect, and therefore you want to be obedient, therefore you want to please him. That's how this works, by the way. Suddenly, it matters what he thinks. If he's like that in your life, you in the club. But you can say all you want, but if you don't care what he thinks, if you can do any old thing and it don't bother you that you're breaking his heart, if you can just do anything and you're not trying to please him and be obedient to him, then he ain't yours. And therefore, you're not really his. Doesn't matter if you said a few words. Amen? So we learned two things. We learned about what this fear is really like. It's like that fatherly respect. You appreciate your father for the things that he's done for you, just like you appreciate God for the things that he's done for you. And your appreciation shows up in your actions. The other thing I want to point out that we can learn from this is the point I was trying to make earlier. Children never really realize. Well, they eventually do, mostly when they become parents. How hard. We're talking about God's mercy. We're talking about you deserve a punishment. You deserve a whipping. You deserve a spanking. Whatever. You deserve a timeout. Whatever you guys want to call it now. Whatever you want to do to create a deterrent for your child because you love them. They don't understand how painful it is for a loving father, a parent, to punish the child. You don't understand. When you're a child, you think, man, your parents just can't wait to tell you no. Can't take, just get off on telling you you can't. Just get off on it. But you don't understand. When my mother used to whip us, she used to say, it's going to hurt me more than it hurts you. Now, what child believes that? But I want you to think about this. Think seriously. I want you to take on, if you haven't been there, one day I think you guys will be blessed to get there. You are a parent. You are a father. And you have to now either allow your child to feel pain and you could fix it, but you have to allow them to feel pain, or you have to punish them, or you have to take something away from him. How much that hurts you. This is how God feels. So now when you think about how a parent feels, now his mercy, his loving kindness, if you think about that, now it makes perfect sense. You belong to him. So he can't wait to soothe your pain. He doesn't want you to go to hell. He'll come all the way down here. He will give his life so that you don't have to. Amen? Amen. It started in the garden. They messed up, didn't they? Yeah. Then they tried to blame it on everybody else, and he went and covered their mess up. You saw his heart from the very beginning. He hasn't changed. This isn't new. Amen. Oh, so good. But you just don't realize how hard it is. You just don't. And it's the same with God. So now I'm getting close to my close. Let's get to the final and maybe the most important point, which we will find in verse 14. Read that for me.
For he knoweth our frame, he remembers that we are.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Don't then all that's within me. And I'm talking about the benefits of this relationship. And I'm realizing that it's the kind of relationship where I love and adore and honor and appreciate my Father. And it shows in my actions. It shows in my choices. And he can't wait to solve my problem. It's killing him not to solve my problem. And that's a manifestation of his love. His mercy, his deep love and compassion, he's in it with me. So I'm not going through my thing, even though he hasn't solved my problem. He's actually in it with me. Oh. And so he gets to this point and says, for, meaning because. So here's all the reasons why he will get in it with me, have mercy, not allow me to have the punishment I really deserve. He'll get in it with me. That's what Jesus did. He got in this mess with us and took our punishment because he couldn't stand for those who would accept him, watching us have to live through the punishment. He took the whipping. He took the blows. He says here that he knows, essentially, he says he knows our frame, meaning he knows what we're made of. He knows that when the world and the devil huffs and puffs like he did in the garden, he knows that our house is not made of brick. He knows it's made of straw. He knows it's made of sticks. You can get all big and bad if you want to, but he knows that you're going to trip and fall. He knows you just can't get up on your own. He knows you can't solve your own problem. And he's willing to get in there and solve it for you. He knows our frame, meaning he knows how we're created. Because why? Because he created us. He knows what we're made of. Without God, it says we are, he says he remembers that we're dust. So when he's being merciful, he remembers, you know what? Oh, yeah, that's right. They're just dust. If he didn't remember that, I want you to think about that. When your child gets smart with you, when your child gets in your face, when your child says something that you wouldn't allow somebody to say on the streets, you got to remember their dust. Oh, yeah, you got to remember their dust. And when they get big and strong and they don't like what you got to say, then they got to remember you dust. What if we all remembered each other were dust? How much benefit of the doubt would we give, especially to those that belong to us? I remember your dust. Are you hearing me? God takes that dust and he's the one that adds the water. You just dust on your own. Did you know you just dust on your own? He adds the water, which makes us now malleable. He makes us into something that could be molded on the wheel of the potter, right? And he applies the pressure to the exact points as he sculpts this thing. Have you ever felt the pressure of God in your life? You felt that pressure? Well, he has to apply that pressure because he's trying to make you. He's trying to mold you. So we just dust, loose, dry dirt. God adds the water and makes us into the potential to be something. And then he adds the pressure in all the right places so that you become something. But once you become it, you can't forget. Don't forget. And you sure don't want him to forget that you're dust. Because you're in trouble if he take you as more than dust. So he remembers that we are dust. So therefore, when we fall, it's actually easy for God to have compassion. It's easy for him not to slap us around and point his face at us and remind us of all the terrible things we did. It's easy for him to put himself in our place. You know how? Because he created us and he remembers, okay, before I blew the life into, oh yeah, what did I pick up? Dust. He remembers our beginnings. He knows what we're made of. But here's the beautiful thing. He doesn't leave it there. God doesn't just remember that we're dust. He says, oh yeah, that's my dust. They belong to me and they need me. I need to look beyond their fault. And I need to see that they need my help. Think about you. Bring it back. If you can't see it all, think about a parent. Okay, I told them to do this and they did that. I told them to turn right and they turned left. I told them to go up and of course they went down. I told them over and over again, guess what? A parent can't just wag. They might tell you, I told you to do this to reinforce it, but they're not going to get any jollies. They're not going to stand on the sideline and just let you hurt. They're going to feel compelled to do something about it. And the longer they go not doing anything about it, understand, you did the deed. You did the dirt. You messed up, but they're hurting. You got to, maybe as a child you've been a recipient of that kind of love, so you kind of understand it. You got half of it. Once you're on the other side of it, that's when you're going to get the other side of that puzzle. Lord have mercy, it's serious, it's strong, it's powerful. Whew. So he remembers we're dust. It's all because of the relationship. We're his dust. So that's why he helps us. That's why he supports us. That's why he has compassion and mercy and looks beyond our fault to see our need. So this should sound familiar. If you're a parent or if you have a parent, I think that covers all of us, a good, loving parent, this should sound familiar. If you have a relationship with God, remember that word picture, because then it should sound familiar. If your relationship with God does not sound like this, it needs to get to sound like this. If you truly belong to him, there are so many benefits. Forget about the money and all. See, that stuff comes because he loves you when it's time for you to have it. And when you do wrong, he may not fix it right away. You might need to go a little bit lower before you can come up. And sometimes you think you've gone low enough and he don't solve the problem because he ain't been long. You're still not low enough. You still might have enough pride to lie about how you got into the situation. He needs to make sure you are really ready to be different. Really ready to appreciate what he's going to give you. And once you finally give in, he starts chasing you with all the blessings that you now don't deserve, but you can handle them. That's just his love. That's the benefit. So forget about things. When you turn your life over to God, you get that. Imagine being an orphan and having a father like that, getting to choose, having the father's line up. You ain't lined up. You're the orphan. You get to pick. The devil is in the lineup. If you don't recognize a father's love and you're not trying to belong to the right kind of person, you might fool around in your life and lust for things and stuff and pride for living. You might just choose the wrong father leader. Let's all choose God. Amen.